Well, good evening. How are y'all this evening? That's great. Praise the Lord. Yeah, me too. Well, if y'all would stand if you can, we're going to start out by singing with I Came to Praise the Lord. Yep. Welcome online too. Yes, any of those who are with us online.
Came to do, but I came to praise the Lord. I don't know what you came to do, but I came to praise the Lord. I don't know what you came to do, but I came to praise the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Jesus came just to set me free, and I came to praise the Lord. Jesus came just to set me free, and I came to praise the Lord. Jesus came just to set me free, and I came to praise the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. He is coming back for me, and I came to praise the Lord. He is coming back for me, and I came to praise the Lord. He is coming back for me, and I came to praise the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't know what you're gonna do, but I'm gonna praise the Lord. I don't know what you're gonna do, but I'm gonna praise the Lord. I don't know what you're gonna do, but I'm gonna praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Sing praises to your name, O Lord, praises to your name, O Lord, for your name is great and greatly to be praised. I sing praises to your name, O praises to your name, O Lord, for your name is great and greatly to be praised. I sing glory to your name, O Lord, glory to your name, O greatly to be praised.
couple of Christmas carols here. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room. And heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing. Joy to the world, the Savior reigns. Let men their songs employ, while fields and floods, rocks, hills, and plains repeat the sounding joy, repeat the sounding joy, repeat, repeat the sounding joy. No more let sin and sorrow grow, nor thorns infest the ground. He comes to make his blessings flow, far as the curse is found, far as the curse is found, far as the curse is found. He rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness, and wonders of his love, and wonders of his love, and wonders, wonders of his love. Amen. Joyful, joyful, we adore you, God of glory, Lord of light. Angels lifting praise before you, sing throughout this holy night. In a manger lies a baby, child of Mary, son of God. Voices joined in joyful chorus praise you for your gift of love. All your works declare your glory, all creation joins to sing. Praise resounds as earth rejoices in the birth of Christ the King. Shepherds kneel before the infant, trumpets sound and anthems raise. As with joy our hearts are lifted, join in wonder, love, and praise. Amen. You want to do a pick a hymn? All right. Pick a hymn or two? All right. Anybody got one that they're thinking of? Christmas or otherwise? 779? All right. See what's on 779. I'll fly away. Nice. Some glad morning when this life is o'er, I'll fly away to a home on God's celestial shore. I'll fly away. Oh, fly away, oh glory, oh, fly away in the morning. When I die, hallelujah, by and by, oh, fly away. When the shadows of this life have gone, oh, fly away. Like a bird from prison bars has flown, oh, fly away. Oh, fly away, oh glory, oh, fly away in the morning. When I die, hallelujah, by and by, oh, fly away. Just a few more weary days and then I'll fly away to a land where joy shall never end. I'll fly away. Oh, fly away, oh glory, oh, fly away in the morning.
When I die, hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away.
Amen. Going once, going twice. Yeah. 254. Ooh, I turned right to that. Wow. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Yeah.
Isn't he beautiful? Beautiful, isn't he? Prince of Peace, Son of God, isn't he? Isn't he wonderful? Wonderful, isn't he? Counselor, Almighty God, isn't he? Isn't he? Isn't he? Isn't he?
Amen. Please welcome Pastor Steve to the pulpit.
Okay, amen. Very good, very good. All right, announcements for you. This will be our last Wednesday night service. You can kind of tell why. Several churches are done. They're not even having Wednesday night tonight, but that's okay, we are. And we got some folks with us online. Got 10, okay, well, amen. Well, those folks, 11, those folks will appreciate the service tonight. So there are several churches that have closed it out. They're done on Wednesday nights for the year, but we're going to do this one tonight. And then the Awanos will be off the next two Wednesday nights, the 22nd and the 29th. We will be off the 22nd and the 29th over here on the adult side. The 19th will be an AM service only. That's a candlelight service on the 19th. We will not have Christmas Eve service this year. And then on Sunday the 26th, we will observe the Lord's Supper. So that's the day after Christmas. That'll be a good service. The 19th and the 26th, both looking forward to those. And both of those Sundays, there will be no PM service for the 19th and the 26th. So just some announcements for you. All right, all right. Do we have any praises, testimonies, encouraging words? Anybody? Yes, ma'am. Yeah. Wow. Oh, my goodness. Wow. That's great. Amen and amen, man. Awesome. Very good. That's a great praise. So, gifts to the school. All right, all right. Other praises or testimonies or encouraging words. Yes, ma'am. Amen. And that girl's name, Carolyn. And they're roommates. No. Oh, my goodness. Okay. All right. All right. Flu and COVID, getting over it, mild case. Praise the Lord for that. Amen. Yes, ma'am. All right. So she's now on a 2-week deal instead of every week. All right. Well, amen. He changed the bandage. She got to see it, huh? Yeah. Good. All right. Sharing good doctor's report on her foot. On the foot. Okay, okay. What else? Anything else? Praises, testimonies? All right. Encouraging words? Scripture? Anything? Okay. Amen. Amen. All right. I love it. 1 John 4:14. Yeah, 1 John. Love it. Okay. Amen. Anybody else? Isaiah 40:31. Yes, sir. Their strength. Mm-hmm. Amen, brother. Great, great. All right. Jeremiah, do you have one? Okay. Amen. Okay. Who's that? Is that Chuck? No, that's Sharon. Okay. That's her handle. Yeah. What's the handle? Was that the year she was born? 1953. That sounds like Chuck. Yeah, but he... all right, asking for a miracle for Kenzie. All right. Amen. Okay, prayer requests. That's Chuck. 1953. Yeah, Pastor Steve's smarter than he looks. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, 2-step 1953. He's a dancing Methodist. I know Chuck. All right. Good to have you tonight, Brother Chuck. All right. Outstanding. All right. What else? Okay, let's have it. Okay. Okay, great. Good for her. That's a great praise. Amen. She didn't have the COVID. She had the RSV. Bless her heart. She's made it through. Good for her. Amen. All right. Yes, sir. Amen. We get it. All right. Prayer request. Anybody else? Yes, ma'am. Fred Redmond. Brother Fred. Shame, Brother Fred. You got to go to the hospital, Brother Fred. Everybody's got to go sometime, brother. You got to go after one of those. All right, Brother Fred, we'll pray for him. All right, what else? Anything else? John's MRI tomorrow. All right, MRI tomorrow. All right, there it is. Brother John, we'll lift that up. MRI. You having that here at Tomball? Cypress. HCA Cypress? Some imaging center? Cypress, cool. Amen. Unspoken. Still want to continue to pray for the storm victims. Amen. Want to continue to pray for them. Yes, ma'am. Yep. Amen. Yeah. Oh, it's. Yeah, they said if a tornado touches down in Minnesota, it'll be the latest in the year it's ever happened. And it possibly can. They've had gusts to 100 up through there, through the plains. Yeah, it's horrific. bad, bad storm. I mean, they're having it right here, right now. So let's pray for. Pardon? Yeah. Amen. Those storms rolling through tonight. Pray for those folks. Said 100 million people are in the path of all that. It's a lot of folks. All right. Talked to Vince here before church. Him and Terry are out of town celebrating their anniversary. And he did Sunday night. Him and another chaplain went by the firehouse there in Tomball, that number one. I guess it's that number one firehouse right behind the VA, right there. So the gentleman's name that had passed away, this is the first full-time Tomball fire department guy they've lost in a long time, or he might have said ever. I'm not quite sure, but his name was Rusty Alston, and he committed suicide. So he leaves a wife, Angela, and two children, one 9 years old, the other 13, and one of the kids has special needs. So what Vince was telling me is that he had a testimony of salvation. At one time, he felt called to the ministry and had gone to seminary. So a lot going on there. So we just want to pray for his wife and his two kids tonight and as they go through that. So Klein is, of course, doing the funeral and the arrangements and all that. So since he's a active duty first responder. So I don't know when the service will be, but anyway, that's what I've got. So we want to pray for that situation, pray for unspokens. Anything else? No, this gentleman was not an accident. He took his life by gun. Yeah. City manager, where was the city manager at? City manager of Tomball? When was this? Oh, okay. All right. Very good. I don't know why HEB would be calling me, but my goodness. I didn't order anything. Did we? Oh, I'm doing fair to middling. I got my boost, and Bobby got his boost, and Bobby got the Pfizer boost, and he did a whole lot better than me on the Moderna. So, of course, I'm frail. I'm just a little old frail thing. See, I'm frail. That's why I get these vaccines. I'm just a frail little guy. I don't want to get sick and end up in the hospital. All right, well, let's, you tough old birds out there, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Amen? Y'all ready? Let me read back over these for those online that want to get these down. I did not do that yet. So we're praying for the Alston family and the loss of Tomball Fire Department, full-time fire department person by the name of Rusty Alston, death by suicide this past week. He leaves a wife, Angela, 9 and 2 kids, 9 and 13. One of the children, I don't know if it's the 9 or the 13, one of them has special needs. So we want to pray for that situation, that family. We rejoice in Rusty's salvation, but we pray for the consequences of that choice and his wife and kids having to deal with that. So let's see here. Praises tonight are gifts to the school, monetary gifts to the school. Lardis is back home up in Chicago taking therapy 3 times a week. Caitlin and Caroline are getting over the flu and the COVID, both doing well. Sharon Heibarger, a good doctor's report, only having to go to the doctor now every 2 weeks instead of every week. Foot's healing nicely. Let's see here. Praise for Chuck Heibarger, Justin, and Kinsey. Chuck and Justin for taking care of Sharon and Kinsey. For coming to see her mom, asking for a miracle in the life of Kinsey and her kids. So pray for Kinsey. This is Sharon's daughter. And then other prayer requests. Fred Redmond had a mini stroke this week, did not go to the hospital. Bad Fred. So we want Fred to go next time something like that happens. So pray for Ann that she can help her husband do what he needs to do. Brother John's got an MRI tomorrow at an imaging center in Cyprus. We've got unspokens we want to lift up. We've got storm victims that just happened, these storms. And then there's another storm rolling through right now. We want to pray for those folks that are under the gun there. We're praying for Johnny Hyman and his continued recovery. And we just praise the Lord for his continued recovery, but we want to continue to pray for his continued recovery. And that's all I have. So let's go to the Lord and lift these things up tonight. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight. We thank you, Lord, that we can come together. Lord, just a few of us here. Actually, Lord, more online. Well, about the same amount of people online as there is here tonight. So we thank you for the good total number we have going through this prayer time. Thank you, Lord, that we can, by technology and by being just together with one another here tonight, we can lift these praises up, these prayer concerns up to you, Lord. Thank you for hearing us, Lord. We pray that if there's anyone here among us tonight or anyone watching online that, Lord, just needs to take some time to clear their heart, to clear their mind, and to confess any unconfessed sin, Lord, we just pray that you would allow them the freedom to do that and just get their heart prepared, ready to lift these things up as we intercede on behalf of others. Thank you for saving us, Lord. Thank you for your word. We thank you for church. We thank you for the New Testament church. We thank you for this church age that you've planted us in. And Lord, we pray that you would bless this church, Lord, that you would grow it, that God, you would send folks here that are looking for a church home. They've moved from out of town, Lord, or perhaps they're in a moderate church or a liberal church, Lord, and they just have the sense that they're not being fed the Word of God, that they're not hearing the full authority of the Word of God, that their church does not believe in the sufficiency of Scripture, Lord. If there's anyone out there, Father God, we pray you'd prick their heart. You might draw them to a church like this one or to another church, Lord, that worships Jesus as God and believes all of the Bible and preaches all of it. So, Lord, we're lifting those things up to you tonight before we lift these other things up, Lord. We praise you tonight for Lardis back home, Lord, from this RSV virus. Lord, you've put your healing hand upon her, and she's ready to take some therapy at the house. And so, Lord, we just give you the praise, the glory, and the honor for that. We thank you, Lord, for the generosity to our school next door. Father God, we thank you for that. COVID has been hard on the church, but it has been good to the school this year. And so, Lord, we rejoice in that, and we just thank you for those gifts that have come in. We're thankful that Caitlin and Caroline, Lord, are getting over their sicknesses, and we just rejoice in that, Lord. And we just pray that they wouldn't have any setbacks or they wouldn't have any secondary infections or any kind of secondary viruses, Lord, that they would all test negative for the COVID and the flu would be done and they would be back at it going strong. Lord, we're thankful for Sharon and her family, Lord, and how they've cared for her. And we're thankful that this foot is coming together nicely, Lord, and we're praying for the therapy that's coming for her, that she'll be able to withstand it and undergo it. We lift up her daughter, Kinsey, and Lord, we pray you might intervene in Kinsey's life and in her kids' lives, Lord. And Father God, we pray you might draw them close to you, draw them to your church, and Lord, just help Kinsey and her situation that she's in right now. Lord, we continue to pray for Fred and Ann. We lift Ann up and just pray, God, that she would be able to help Fred next time he has one of these many strokes, Lord, and get him where he needs to get and go. And Lord, we pray that Brother Fred would not take these health issues for granted, but he would listen to reason, and Lord, he would allow himself to go to that hospital. Nobody likes to go, but sometimes we have to go, God. And Lord, we just pray you work that situation out. We lift up Brother John to you tonight and this MRI that he's going to be undergoing or experiencing tomorrow. We pray for good test results there, Lord, and pray for wisdom on behalf of his physician as they treat and try to discern what needs to be treated and what condition there is. We lift up these unspokens to you tonight, and we praise you and thank you, Lord, that we can lay these things at your feet. We know that you're a God of healing, that you can heal relationships, Lord. We pray for lost people in the midst of these unspokens. We pray for broken relationships. We pray for all kinds of things that need to come to fruition, Lord. We constantly pray for these things, and we lay these things down at your feet. And, Lord, I pray that we would just have a heart filled with gratitude that you hear us and that you're working and that it's your timing, not our timing, Lord, and that we just need to be faithful to keep these things before you. So God, thank you that we can lift these unspokens up to you tonight. Lord, we pray for the storm victims in Kentucky and the other states that have experienced so much carnage and death and destruction and mayhem, Lord. And Father God, that's just a warm up really for what's coming in the last days and the tribulation after the rapture of the church. But Father God, we pray for those that have lost lives, pray for their families, and we pray for those that have lost everything, Lord, material-wise. We just pray that, Lord, you would give them the resources, point them in the direction to the county and state and federal resources, Lord, to get back going and get back building and get back healing and all of those things. But, Lord, we lift those folks up to you. We're thankful for all the faith-based organizations that are there and all of the secular organizations that are there that are trying to help those folks. We pray you keep those folks safe that are searching for loved ones, and as they find those that have passed away, Lord, we just pray that the remains and the bodies are just treated with the utmost respect and care as they get those bodies to where they need to be. So, Lord, we just lift that situation up to you. We pray for the plains and the upper Midwest experiencing another storm tonight. We pray, Lord, that there would be no loss of life, that, God, that you just protect folks. People would be smart and would take cover and would really be cognizant of what's going on, their surroundings, situations, tornadoes coming or going. And, Lord, we just pray for a safe night, a protected night for people as they hunker down. Lord, homes can be rebuilt and cars can be replaced, but, Lord, a life is precious. So, Lord, we just pray and you protect them as they go through that situation tonight. And then Johnny Hyman, Lord, we're thankful that he continues to heal and recover. And Lord, we pray for his wife, Jeanette, and we pray for his mother and a dear church member here, Miss Sakura. And Lord, we just pray that they have a blessed, I mean a blessed Christmas a-coming. Father God, just give them a good Christmas. They got a lot to be thankful for, a lot to celebrate. As they think about the first Advent, they think about your goodness and your grace. Johnny's healing is just a picture of your grace, your graceful touch to us. And so, Lord, we're thankful that Johnny's come through. We pray that you'd increase his strength, his appetite, his weight. Lord, let him get back going and doing and being even better than he was before, Father God. We pray you really turn it around for him and help him out. Lord, be with us tonight as we continue on in the book of Revelation. We thank you. Lord, it's appropriate thing to talk about your second advent in the midst of celebrating your first advent. Even though you didn't tell us to celebrate your first advent, Lord, we want to know about your second advent. And so, Lord, we praise you and thank you tonight for it. Thank you for your word. It's in your name we pray. And everybody said, amen, amen. We may have Santa Claus with us here Sunday. And don't freak out. Santa Claus was a good guy. I mean, the whole idea around Santa Claus. So we'll share some history about that if he does show. And if the kids are here, some kids, we may not have any kids. Sometimes we have these holidays, kids are gone. But I'm hoping some kids will show and they'll get the blessing of, and I'm hoping Santa Claus makes it until we have the blessing of having Santa Claus and the kids, because that would be cool. Amen? Yeah. Santa Claus can help me read the Christmas story. That'll be good, good, good. All right. Well, we are in Revelation chapter 16. We'll look at verses 1 through 12. I don't think we'll get to 13 and 14, but if we do, we will. We're just reading this for context. We've moved through quite a bit of this. But let's go ahead and stand in honor of the reading of the inerrant Word of God, and we'll see how far we get tonight. The Word of God reads in Revelation 16, those of you with us online, beginning in verse 1. Word of God says this, "And I heard a loud voice from the temple saying to the seven angels, go and pour out on the earth the seven bowls of the wrath of God. So the first angel went and poured out his bowl on the earth, and it became a loathsome and malignant sore on the people who had the mark of the beast and who worshipped his image. The second angel poured out his bowl into the sea, and it became blood like that of a dead man, and every living thing in the sea died. Then the third angel poured out his bowl into the rivers and the springs of waters, and they became blood. And I heard the angel of the waters saying, righteous are you who are and who were, O Holy One, because you judged these things. For they poured out the blood of saints and prophets, and you have given them blood to drink. They deserve it. And I heard the altar saying, yes, O Lord God, the Almighty, true and righteous are your judgments. The fourth angel poured out his bowl upon the sun, and it was given to it to scorch men with fire. Men were scorched with fierce heat, and they blasphemed the name of God who has the power over these plagues, and they did not repent so as to give him glory. Then the fifth angel poured out his bowl on the throne of the beast, and his kingdom became darkened, and they gnawed their tongues because of pain. And they blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores. They did not repent of their deeds. The sixth angel poured out his bowl on the great river, the Euphrates, and its water was dried up so that the way would be prepared for the kings from the east. Thank you all for standing in honor of the reading of the inerrant word of God, and may he add his tremendous blessing to it. Now, we've already talked about the plague on the unrepentant and rebellious sinner. That's bowl number one, the plague on the sea. Bowl number two. Bowl number three, the plague in the rivers and the streams. We ended last time, Sunday night, talking about the plague in the sun, verses 8 through 9. And then we actually ended talking about the beast is plague. That'd be bowl number five, so not the plague in the sun. We finished up that one on Sunday night, and then we ended with the beast is plagued, bowl number five. Now, remember, we keep mentioning this thing called the cumulative effect. And that's kind of how we ended Sunday night. We were talking about the cumulative effect of the painful sores, the cumulative effect of the fouled oceans, the cumulative effect of the lack of clean drinking water, the intense heat, all engulfed in thick blackness. We said that would bring unbearable misery upon people. Yet, incredibly, we said, the wicked, the unbelieving people of the world will still refuse to repent. John notes that they gnawed their tongues. They gnawed them, literally, kept on chewing on their tongues because of the most intense and excruciating pain. Yet with those same tongues, between the gnawing and the chawing, they would blaspheme, or they will blaspheme, the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores. This is the last reference we find in the book of Revelation. This is the last reference to their unwillingness to repent. The first five plagues were God's final call to repentance. Sinners ignored that call and are now confirmed in their unbelief. The final two bowls of judgment, containing the most severest of all the judgments, will be poured out on hardened, non-repentant, closed-minded, not going to get right souls destined for a real place called hell. Well, as we try to finish the beast is plague, that fifth bowl, I thought about this few days before Wednesday. We have this Bible study on Sunday night, and then there's just Monday, Tuesday, and here we are back on Wednesday talking about it. I thought about this. What are some takeaways? What are some things we can take away from this fifth bowl judgment? Kind of bring this fifth bowl to a conclusion as we get ready to move on to that battle of Armageddon, which that's probably going to take us one Bible study just to get through that. Takeaway number one. Like Pharaoh in ancient Egypt, the Antichrist, with all his power, is helpless against the judgment of God Almighty. He's helpless. This plague begins in the very throne room of the Antichrist and then spreads to cover his entire kingdom. Now, he may be a powerful ruler. In his power, he may be energized and supported by Satan, but he is helpless to defend himself against the God of heaven. Takeaway number two, the supernaturally imposed darkness. Think about this. It's a tangible representation of the darkness that has already engulfed the world. darkness of sin, darkness of rejecting the gospel. At this point, the world has already rejected the light of the world. They've already rejected the Lord Jesus because they loved the darkness rather than the light. John chapter 3, verse 19. This world chose moral darkness. This world chose spiritual darkness. This world chose intellectual darkness. It chose emotional darkness over the light that was available in the person of Jesus Christ and revealed in the Word of God. Amen? What are some takeaways from this fifth bowl judgment? Well, we're going through them. They favored darkness, didn't they? Over the light. And God gives them more darkness. God will give you what you want. He gave them more darkness than they had ever bargained for. Takeaway number three. What we see here is a tiny sliver, a small microchasm of what hell is going to be like. God is letting the Antichrist and he's letting his followers know what is waiting on them because they have rejected Jesus Christ. They got the sores. They got the burns. It's hot and it's dark. Once when speaking of this place called hell, Jesus said this in Matthew 25, verse 30. He said, "Throw out the worthless slave into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." What we see here is a small glimpse, a very small, tiny microchasm of a glimpse of what those who reject Jesus will face when they eventually end up in a place called hell. Takeaway number four. What are some takeaways from this fifth bowl judgment? Takeaway number four. What a window. What a window this is into the human heart. The theological term that preachers throw around, and sometimes people struggle with it, is a term that is total depravity. The human heart is totally depraved. That applies here. Total depravity applies here. Apart from the conviction of the Holy Spirit over one's sinfulness, there is no spiritual good in mankind at all. None whatsoever. Preacher, I'm not sure I agree with that. Romans chapter 3, verses 10 through 23. Let that be your guide. Romans 3, 10 through 23. Ephesians 4, 22 says that in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lusts of deceit. Some people want to try to tell me sometimes that, well, he's lost, but he's a good person. Friend, he may do some good things, but in that heart of heart, I'm telling you, you'll find a motivation. You'll find a motivation of why things are done that is not God-centered, that is not Christ-like. Number five, we're talking about some takeaways from this fifth bowl judgment. The same rebellion and hatred of God would be revealed. Listen to me. The same rebellion and hatred of God would be revealed in you and me were it not for the grace of God. That's the power of God's grace. Were it not for the grace of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, and praise the Lord you heard, and praise the Lord you got the faith, and praise the Lord you exercised your free will, and you received the grace and the mercy that none of us deserved. Amen? After studying the book of Revelation, I don't believe people will respond by crying out to Jesus for salvation. I used to think that. That leads me to, what are the takeaways from the fifth bowl? Number six, when people die and go to hell, we sometimes have the image of them. And I'm guilty. I'm guilty of this myself. We sometimes have the image of them trying to get saved. Once we die, and then the judgment, right? And so, you know, you die without Christ, and And, you know, they get there before the throne, and they're at the white throne judgment, and every knee shall bow, and every tongue will confess. And you know, we think this side of grace, we think saved, we think because we have the Holy Spirit, we think when that happens that these lost people are going to, they're going to try to get saved. They're going to try to confess their sins at the white throne and cry out to Jesus. But after studying the book of Revelation, I'm telling you, I don't believe people will respond that way. We look at the rich man in Luke chapter 16, verses 19 through 31. There's really no hint of remorse over the life he lived. There is only sorrow over the sentence he received. When people go to hell, they will lift their voices in blasphemy against God. They will curse him, and even his judgment will not bring them to a place of repentance. We can only think, may God help this sin-cursed, fallen world. Well, we get to introduce, I guess, tonight, the sixth bowl. We've covered five judgments. We now come to the sixth bowl. We'll try not to take you past the hour, but we want to just introduce it here tonight. And that is the battle is planned. The sixth bowl. We've looked at the beast is plagued. That's bowl number five. We come to the sixth one now, and that is the battle is planned. That is the balance of verses 12 all the way through 16. The sixth angel poured out his bowl on the great river, the Euphrates, and its water was dried up so that the way would be prepared for the kings from the east. And I saw coming out of the mouth of the dragon and out of the mouth of the beast and out of the mouth of the false prophet three unclean spirits like frogs. For they are spirits of demons performing signs which go out to the kings of the whole world to gather them together for the war of the great day of God, the Almighty. Now, it goes all the way to verse 16. We'll just stop at verse 14 there and make some comments. Unlike the previous five bowls, the sixth bowl, like the fifth seal, don't get confused, but like the fifth seal back in Revelation chapter 6, verses 9 through 11, has no specific assault on humanity, but prepares for what is to come. So as we think about what's coming, what is some background on where this bowl takes place? The Euphrates appeared earlier in Revelation in connection with the sixth trumpet judgment in 9, verse 14, when 200 million demons who were bound near the river were released. As the longest and most significant river in the Middle East, the Euphrates deserves to be called the Great River, and it is referred as such in several places in the Old Testament. The river's source is in the snow fields and the ice cap high on the slopes of Mount Ararat, located in modern Turkey today, from which the river flows some 1,800 miles before emptying into the Persian Gulf. In ancient times, the Garden of Eden was located in the vicinity of the Euphrates River, per Genesis 2, 10 through 14. The Euphrates also formed the eastern boundary of the land God gave to Israel. Along with the nearby Tigris, the Euphrates is still the lifeblood of that geographical area called the Fertile Crescent. By the time the sixth bowl is poured out, though, the Euphrates will be very different than it is today, or how it's ever been. The blazing heat from the sun associated with the fourth bowl will have already certainly melted the snow and the ice cap on Mount Ararat. That will vastly increase the volume of water in the Euphrates, causing massive damage and flooding along its course, along its shores. The bridges spanning the river will surely be destroyed by the previous bowls and the previous judgments that have already occurred. Thus, the reason for the sixth bowl drying up of the river becomes apparent. The eastern armies will need to cross the Euphrates to reach their ultimate destination of Armageddon, or Armageddon in the land of Palestine. God's drying up the Euphrates. Realize this. Understand this. I think we all on the same page here. His drying up of the Euphrates by this bold judgment is not an act of kindness. It's not an act of kindness toward the kings. It's not an act of kindness towards their armies. But it is an act of judgment. They, the kings, and their armies will be entering a deadly trap. The evaporation of the Euphrates will lead them to their doom, just as the parting of the Red Sea led to the destruction of the Egyptian army. Why the kings and their armies will make the daunting journey that will take them to their doom through the drought, through the scorching heat, through the darkness, and through their painful sores is stated in verses 13 and 14. Look at those two verses with me again. And I saw coming out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet, three unclean spirits like frogs. For they are spirits of demons performing signs which go out to the kings of the whole world to gather them together for the war of the great day of God, the Almighty. Whatever the human motives of this invasion force, whether political rebellion or rabid anti-Semitism, the real reason behind their advance toward Palestine soon becomes evident. In a grotesque vision, like something out of a horror movie today, John saw coming out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet, three unclean spirits like frogs. From the mouth, which symbolizes the source of influence of each member of the unholy Trinity. That's what we have here. The dragon is Satan. Remember that. Be reminded of that. The beast is the Antichrist. Be reminded of that. And the false prophet represents the person of the Holy Spirit in the Holy Trinity. Out of these three came a foul, unclean spirit resembling a frog. Now, I keep frogs on my property. I'm not mean to the frogs. The frogs eat mosquitoes and eat bugs, and so they freak me out sometimes because I'll open the back door and one will be right here on the light fixture. So, whoa! But I leave them alone. Amen? They're not snakes, right? But frogs, from biblical times, were unclean animals. Per Leviticus chapter 11, verse 10, Leviticus 11, verse 41. But I'm here to tell you tonight, these are not literal frogs as in the plague in Egypt in Exodus 8, verse 5. John identified the frog-like apparitions as spirits of demons. This graphic, revolting, and disgusting illustration pictures the slimy, cold-blooded vileness of these demons who seduce the kings from the east into making the difficult journey to their doom at Armageddon under their deluding influence. As part of their deception, the demons will no doubt perform supernatural signs. Earlier in the tribulation, the false prophet performed great signs, it said, even making, in Revelation 3, verse 13, even making fire come down out of heaven to the earth in the presence of men. As a result, the false prophet was able to deceive, per 13, 14. I said 3, 13, I meant 13, 13. All right, chapter 13, verse 13. These unclean spirits of demons will work lying wonders to deceive the eastern kings. That these demons will have such powers of deception is not surprising. Jesus predicted this very thing in the Gospel of Mark in Mark 13, 22. He said, "For false Christs and false prophets will arise and will show signs and wonders in order to lead astray." And then that verse ends with, "if possible, the elect." And so then what we have, what we need to insert here, is what several of you were referring to a couple of weeks ago. And that's the 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11 passage. This is where she fits. That word reads this: that is the one whose coming is in accord with the activity of Satan, with all power and signs and false wonders, and with all the deception of wickedness for those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth so as to be saved. For this reason, God will send upon them a deluding influence, so that they will believe what is false. They had slim to none opportunity in the first five bold judgments. But after they blasphemed, they blaspheme. And they're sealed in their unbelief. What's the unpardonable sin? Blaspheming. The Holy Spirit blaspheming God. All right. That passage, 2 Thessalonians 2, 9 through 11, that comes into play and comes into application. Thus the unclean spirits will have little difficulty in deceiving the kings and their armies of the whole world to gather them together. The mission of the demons is to gather not just the eastern powers, but all of the world's rulers, all of the world's armies, to join the forces from the east for the war of the great day of God, the Almighty. Amen and amen. Well, we introduce it, we don't finish it. But that's a little bit of the sixth bold judgment. Amen, church? All right. Let's have a closing word. Any questions? Any questions online? Okay. All right. Let's have a closing word of prayer and we'll be dismissed. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for tonight. And Lord, we thank you that we've been able to get through completely the fifth bowl. And Lord, we've reviewed some things and tried to connect the dots on some things. And Lord, we pray you just continue to give us wisdom as we go through the study. And Lord, just continue to illumine us and enlighten us. And Lord, we're thankful that the Holy Spirit helps us and shows us and points us. And Lord, we just praise you and thank you for that. The leading, guiding, the light of the Word of God as we try to grow in our knowledge and discipleship of what is coming. Lord, we're thankful that we miss all this. We're thankful that we're heaven bound. We're thankful that we're sealed for the day of redemption. And Lord, we're thankful that we get in just a few days, 2 weeks, week and a half, we get to celebrate your first advent. And Lord, we know Scripture doesn't really mandate we do that, but it's something we culturally do. And Lord, we're looking forward to that day. Lord, the world makes it a day of commercialism, a day of commerce, a day of materialism. But Lord, we want to make it a day of worship as we think about how you've stepped out of heaven, stepped out of glory, and took on human flesh to live such an incredible, sinless life, to bear our sin, all of humanity's sin, on that cross. You became sin, and you took that penalty from us. So that if we receive you as our personal Lord and Savior, we no longer have to pay that debt. Thank you for taking care of that debt. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for keeping us for all eternity. Give us safety as we leave this place tonight, Lord. We praise you and we love you for all you do for us. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said, amen. All right. Good night, online folks. We'll see you soon.